maybe we've lost the fear of the Lord, the reverence and the glory and the awe of God, because we have set God into a bunch of boundaries that we've made and limitations on what we think God should be. Do I really believe that I am created in the image of God? Or have we created an image of God that matches what I think God should look like?
Hello, you've tuned in for a sermon from one of our preaching team here at C3 Church Victory. We're a home for hope located in Newcastle, Australia, but you can connect with us online wherever you are. Head to our website, c3victory.org.au, for more info.
I can't walk into a church because I'm pretty sure it's going to be struck by lightning and I'll die. Have you ever heard someone say that to you before? I can't go, sorry guys, I can't come to church with you. Because, you know, if I walk in, the roof's going to fall in. And I have heard that so many times. And normally you just like laugh it off with them and it's a big joke and it's all very funny. But the reality is that the crux of that statement has an underlying belief that God is someone who is angry with them. And that they don't understand the love that God has for them. There's just this underlying statement, right? That God hates them and that they're not good enough to be in the presence of God. That's really sad, right? And today we are starting a brand new series called God is Not My Sidekick. And you're thinking, how on earth does that fit into anything? Well, guess what? By the end of this, I really hope you know. And if you don't know, then I'm really sorry. I did a very bad job. But by the end of this message today, you are going to have a much better understanding. And we're talking all about the fear of God this morning. And I pray that today you would have a fresh revelation of what it means, of how amazing our God is, of how big He is, of how great He is, of how majestic He is, and that as part of that, you have been designed and purposed by Him, by our Creator, and have a significant part of the plan, and we will be able to live our best life knowing, really understanding who God is. So Lord, today I just ask that you would just get us ready. Lord, that you would do a work, because Lord, my words are not going to do you justice. But Holy Spirit, you can do so much more. And so as we come together today, as we dive into your word, Lord, would you just speak volumes to every one of us here, that we would have deeper revelation, that we would have a better understanding. And Lord, that you would change our hearts today. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I am afraid of spiders and snakes. I'm pretty sure that I'm not going to be alone in that fear. So I would like a show of hands. Who is afraid of spiders? Yep, yep, yep. Okay, what about snakes? Anybody? Yep, great. Who's afraid of both? Me, yep, definitely. I know, right? They're just like the weirdest little things. I really don't understand them and I don't know why God created them, and I will have that word with him when we get to heaven. That's going to be the first question I have. I know, weird. First question, why? Why, God? But I have got a little tip for you. So when you go on a bushwalk, this is my tip, and this is what I do when I go on a bushwalk, which, you know, doesn't happen all the time, but when I do, you should always go with someone taller than you, and you should always go with someone louder than you, and let them go ahead. Taller gets all the spider webs, louder scares off all the snakes. That is a scientific proven theory in my world, I think, because I barely see any snakes and I make the little kids run ahead of me because they're way louder, guys. And Ben's taller than me, so it makes sense. He leads our family. Yeah, see, it works. If you're an expert and that's not the truth in any way, I don't want to know. I like my opinion better. So keep it to yourself. But I'm also unable to read a book with lifelike pictures of snakes and spiders. I can't turn the page. It's like, thank you. So like when I was little and there would be an encyclopedia, you know those massive encyclopedias? And I would like get to the S bit and I'd get to the, oh, I can't, that's where I'm staying. There is nothing after S. S, N, nothing. That's it. No T, no anything. I don't know what comes after T. But I can't do it. And I just find them so scary. And it's so weird. I know, I'm very weird. But if I asked you, what was your greatest fear? I'm sure that something would pop up in your mind. So I want you just right now, have a quick minute to think, not even a minute, 10 seconds to think what popped into your mind. Now tell the person next to you, what was your greatest fear? What popped into your mind? Quickly, 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 let's go. Pastor Nate, tell Ben, let's go. And then can you tell me what Ben's greatest fear is? Because he's like my hero, he's not afraid of anything. All right. Okay, you should know. So, who found out something surprising? Oh, Ben, what was your greatest fear? I'm scared. I don't want to know, maybe. Yep, we found out some surprising things, right? About the person next to us, perhaps. Maybe you're afraid of clowns. Maybe you're afraid of kiwi fruit. I don't know. So funny what we are afraid of. Lots of different things. Was anybody not afraid of anything? Nothing. Oh, Trav, not afraid of anything. Gosh, I need to be you. That's impressive. You know, when we think about fear, we think about this idea of being scared of something. But this is a really different concept to what the fear of the Lord is all about. The fear of the Lord is not that we would be afraid of God, but think of it instead of it this way. Imagine yourself, you can close your eyes if you want to, but imagine yourself standing on the edge of the Grand Canyon. Maybe you've been there and you know that feeling. Or maybe you have been to the Great Barrier Reef and you've been swimming around with all the fish and there's this massive amount of coral and beautiful fish. Maybe that's what you're imagining. Maybe you can imagine yourself standing on a cliff and watching an incredible storm rolling in. Lightning. You can hear some thunder. Maybe you have stood in a forest with gigantic trees all around you. And as you're standing there, as you can imagine standing there, you're struck by the sheer magnificence of what is in front of you. The beauty that surrounds you, the wonder of the scene that you are experiencing. But there is also like a little bit of nervousness, like that excited, nervous feeling you get before you jump off a big rock into the ocean, or maybe even as you get on a roller coaster. Something that's a little bit out of your control. Something that makes you remember that you are not all powerful. That you are in a world where there are so many great things, bigger than you can imagine. And this is a little bit like what I think the beginning of understanding the fear of the Lord is like. Just a little bit. I want to read to you this morning from Psalm 89 to begin. And it says this, "For who in the heavens can be compared to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened to the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be held in reverence by all those around him." You know, the Bible talks about the fear of the Lord being the beginning of wisdom. And it also talks about the fear of the Lord being something that is the responsibility of every human on the earth. But it's something that is so hard for our minds to actually grasp. This idea of the fear of the Lord. It's almost like outside of our, it is completely outside of our understanding in its entirety. To understand the fear of the Lord is huge. And in fact, in John Bevere's book, Fear of the Lord, he says it must be etched on our hearts. It's not something we can reason out. It's just something that is etched on our hearts. But where do we even begin? How do we even start? And I believe that the start of understanding the fear of the Lord is to get an understanding of his greatness, his bigness, his majesty, and the wonder of God himself. So that's where we're going to start. So I want to read to you now from Psalm 33, verse 6 to 9. It says, "By the word of the Lord the heavens were made. He gathers their starry host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm." We're on a bit of a science theme today, a little bit. I mean, we had a science experiment here. That's so awesome. The kids are already ahead of us, as usual, on my bushwalk. They're way ahead, killing all the spiders and the snakes. It's a great thing. But they are way ahead of us in here. They've already done a whole series on wonder. And so I just want us to think about this for a minute, because that scripture is something that I could meditate on forever. Like, there is so much in that that is just mind-blowing. And his greatness and his power and his bigness and his majesty is all in these verses of the scripture. Has anybody ever heard of a preacher from the United States called Louis Giglio? Yes. Have we all seen his stuff? Okay, I've watched it again this week and it still blows my mind. So I'm stealing some of his stuff. I'm going to start there. I'm not going to do it as well as he does, but I'm going to start just with a small part of what he talks about so that we can get an understanding of the wowness is my thing, the wowness of God. And he just has this mind-blowing stuff about the universe. All right, so it doesn't matter. I forgot I was going to do this really cool thing, but it doesn't matter. I'll just talk about it instead. We live on planet Earth. True story. I know. Mind-blowing. Wow. Good one. But Earth is a part of the Milky Way. Not the eating kind of Milky Way. Milky Way stars. Milky Way galaxy, which includes our sun and the solar system of planets. And there are approximately, did you know this? There are approximately 100 to 200 billion, some might say 2 trillion in other scientific universities, 2 trillion galaxies in the observable universe. Okay, so we are but one galaxy of what could be up to 2 trillion galaxies in the whole universe. That's just mind-blowing in itself. But the Milky Way is made up of approximately 100 billion stars. 100 billion stars. There's a lot of zeros there. So if the Earth was the size of a golf ball, right, that's what I wanted. I wanted to have a golf ball because Louis does it and he does it so well and I could have been Louis for a minute. But anyway, if the Earth was the size of a golf ball, the sun, in comparison, would be about 4.5 metres in diameter. And you would fit 960,000 Earths in the sun. 960,000 Earths in the sun. We've got a picture. Oh, here we are. Look, here we are on Earth. You can barely even see it. If you need glasses for long distance and you forgot them, you can't see this today. It's up here. And this is our sun, one of the stars in the Milky Way. Amazing. I hope you guys are seeing this online. Let's compare it to another star in the Milky Way. Let's talk about Betelgeuse, which is also a movie. It's not what I'm recommending. Let's go to the star. This star is 427 light years away. So it would be like going 10 trillion times to the moon and back. 10 trillion times to the moon and back. What on earth? Which is also crazy, but it would take 262 trillion stars. I keep saying that. 262 trillion Earths to fill Betelgeuse. 262 trillion. What? And if the Earth was a golf ball, it would be Betelgeuse would be about 8.5 center point tower buildings tall. Have we got the picture up there? Yep. What on earth? And here's our sun. Remember how little our earth was? Oh my gosh. here's our sun. Can't even see it. And look how big Betelgeuse is. And that's like another star that I can't pronounce. Antares. There's even more. Yet another star in our universe, in our universe, is called the Canis Majoris. And this star is approximately 10 kilometers high. That's as high as Mount Everest. Is anybody else like just blown away but right now? As high as Mount Everest. And it would fit 7 quadrillion Earths into that star. 7 quadrillion Earths can fit into this star right here. And then we're going up. Look, there's another one that's even bigger. We're not going to go there. But I just am blown away by this universe that God created and the stars in. Can we even fathom this? Can we even? If we go back to Psalm 33, it says, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and their starry host made by the breath of his mouth." The stars breathed into existence. It was like the end of his sentence. Lord, like I command the heavens to be made. And it was like, and there's the stars. Oh my gosh, guys. Like, I've been reading about this for weeks and I'm just like, I turn around on my desk to Pastor Darren. I'm like, Darren, check this out. Like, read this. This is amazing. Because it blows my mind. I can't actually fathom the God of the universe creating this incredible universe for us to be on earth. God breathed and created the stars. Every single star that we can see, and there's heaps that we can't. And I love the idea that he made them visible immediately, because otherwise we wouldn't have known they were stars, right? But they travel trillion, like 9.46 trillion mile, kilometers per year or something like that. So he made them immediately there, visible to us. But what we're actually seeing, like Betelgeuse, I think we're kind of, if we looked at it now, it's like we're seeing what was there 700 years ago. And the sun, when the sun comes, it's like 8.5 minutes ago. So we're not seeing it immediately, like as it is right in this second. It will be another 700 years. If right now this is what Betelgeuse is, in 700 years, that's what we're going to see. Yeah. What the? Psalm 8 says this, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them?" We can't even fathom the bigness of God, but once we understand who we are on this little tiny planet that's not even able to be seen compared to most of the stars that we've just seen, can't even see it, and yet God cares for us. And yet God created an earth where everything works together beautifully. Ecosystems, trees, mountains, waters, everything we need to live a life in perfect unison. Because that's what God created for us. Like, I am just in awe of him at that thought. We are so incredibly tiny, and yet God cares for every single one of us, every single one of you. He hears every prayer. He sees every tear. He celebrates every victory. All of those things God is doing. We just can't even. He wants a personal relationship with us. It just makes me want to drop to my knees and worship, like in every moment. But there's something so inexplicable, wonderfully inexplicable about the creator of our universe and the designer of creation. But I wonder whether we have possibly, instead of thinking about him in that awe and wonder, if we have reduced God to something that is easier to explain, to something that is easier to understand. And in doing that, we have lost the awe and the reverence and the fear of the Lord which he so greatly deserves. You know, it's a bit like when we are kids and our parents, we think our parents are so awesome. My kids think that I'm the best. Actually, teenagers is a whole other story. But when they were really little, they thought I was amazing. They thought Ben was amazinger, but that's okay. They still thought I was amazing. And it's like when we grow up, we realize that our parents are human and that they make mistakes and they're not the perfect people that we thought they were for all of those years of our lives. And what have I been doing? I've been living a lie. And it's kind of like that with God, I think. We give our hearts to Jesus at some point in our lives. Maybe it's when we're really young. And we grow up and we start to realize that life is still hard and there are still challenges and it's not, you know, all smooth sailing. And so we start to think, oh, well, maybe God's not as big as we thought he was because I'm still having all these problems and, you know, this is not working for me over here. And we start to reduce God into someone less powerful, into someone less caring, and we just get on with our lives. You know, we're not the first who would have done that. In the Old Testament, there's a story when the Israelites decide, as Moses is up on Mount Sinai, and they're like, oh, we have had enough of this. Where is Moses? He's probably died. He's gone. Can't find him. And Moses was the person who was talking to God for them. And so they were like, well, let's create our own God. And Aaron's like, bring me all the gold, guys. I can do this. And he fashioned a golden calf. Because a golden calf makes a whole lot of sense, doesn't it? I worship a golden calf. It's right here in front of me. I can sacrifice to this. It's right here. I don't know what they thought he was going to do, this golden calf that was fashioned out of gold. But they did it because they couldn't understand why God wouldn't be just talking to them right there and then, right now. I want to see him. I want to know, even though he had done all of this stuff, even though he had parted the waters before them and they had seen him do that, even though he had rescued them out of Egypt and provided food for them every day, it didn't matter. They forgot all about that. They just wanted something they could explain and see. They reduced God's image to a golden calf. But there is no other God but God. You know, maybe we've lost the fear of the Lord, the reverence and the glory and the awe of God because we have set God into a bunch of boundaries that we've made and limitations on what we think God should be. Our ideals, our thoughts, not the truth of the Word of God. But the Bible tells us that we were created in His image. In His image we were created, but we have re-imaged God to be more like us, more palatable, more designer, easier to understand. I have recreated God in my own image in so many ways because it's easy to compromise when we have worked out the parameters. It's easy to walk away when we think God is small and fits into this little box that I've created. But do I really believe that I am created in the image of God? Or have we created an image of God that matches what I think God should look like? That I would do things. I could do that a bit better than God. I think I might try. And there are some powerful words in Psalm 8. It says, just right at the beginning, it says, when I consider. How often do we stop and consider God as He is? What He has designed, what He has created. I consider heaps of things, but how often do I stop and consider the Lord of the universe, the Lord Almighty? In fact, how often do I not consider God? How often do I just think about Him as an add-on to the life that I lead, not the creator of the life that I lead? How often do I just call out when it suits and need Him to do something for me instead of falling to my knees in reverence and awe every spare minute that I have? How often do I forget that the universe does not revolve around me? The main character of my own story. And rather, the universe was breathed into existence by the Lord God Almighty, and I am a part of His story. The breather of life has breathed life into me, and I am honored to be a part of what he is doing on this earth, not the other way around. Have I made myself the superhero of my own narrative, and God is just my sidekick? The guy I call on when I can't work it out myself. The one who helps on occasion but doesn't get a whole lot of the credit. Do I feel like that about God? You know, last weekend we went for a small walk at Caves Beach. If you've never done this walk, I would definitely recommend it. It's amazing. I think some of our youth boys did it yesterday as well. And it's just this beautiful walk along the edge of Caves Beach, and you sort of go south. And I was walking along. I'd already gone halfway, so we'd gone and we'd turned back, and I was walking back, and we were just in this like rock face, but it was kind of narrow and weird, and so I was kind of walking down this like tricky little bit, and Maddie was in front of me. She's louder than me, but Maddie was in front of me, and I said, "Hey Mads, just stop." And I said to her, "Hey, look around." And we stopped in this little bit and we looked around, and there were these beautiful rock faces. Just, if I'd taken a picture, it wouldn't do it justice. The colours and the shape and the design. And I said to Mads, "Hey, how beautiful is that? God created those." And she was like, "Yeah, Mum, it's a lesson and we need to stop looking down." And I said, "Yeah, Mads, it is." She said, "That'll preach." I love my kids. But she's right. How often do we get caught looking down at life and the circumstances around us and what's happening right in front of us, and we forget, "Oh my Lord, look up. Look up to the heavens. Look at the creation around us. Look at what you have created. Look at what I am a part of." To see the greatness in front of us. Isaiah 6:3 says, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory." God is not my sidekick. God is the main event. And I'm a part of his story, a privileged part of his story. And he is the main character and the one who I stand in awe of. Is your whole world filled with his glory? Or do we need to readjust? I do. You know, I really struggled this week because I can't do justice and I can't fully explain to us the fear of the Lord. And, you know, we're going to be talking about this for a few weeks, and this is just an introduction. But the Holy Spirit can do so much more than I can. So we're going to take a minute. We're going to take a few minutes. Because I really believe that we need to take a moment to stop and consider the Lord. So would you stand with me this morning? We're going to worship. Because I can give you heaps of examples, but in order for this to be etched on our heart, that's a work of the Holy Spirit. So allow the Lord to speak to you. Maybe you've already had a glimpse of his glory this morning. And maybe you just want to ask for a greater measure. Maybe you have made God your sidekick. Unconsciously, subconsciously. And maybe you need to remember that he's actually the main event. So take some time this morning to repent and worship the Lord. We stand before.
Thanks for listening. If today's message really spoke to you and you would like to talk to someone about it, why don't you head to our website, c3victory.org.au to connect with our team. You can also find us and reach out on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and the YouVersion Bible Reading app. We'll see you next week.